He's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. And when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be?
Showing reverence for the gospel of our Lord, please stand. Our gospel today is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 in the Pew Bible. This is on page 966. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Our dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart made clean and new, a quiet chamber kept for you. Amen. Please be seated. As you listen to our text again this morning and the words that I believe God has led me to share with you, I want you to keep in mind that there are various reasons for sermons. Some are to encourage, others are to comfort, others are to scold, but some are to cause us just to marvel at what God has done. And that's the purpose of my sermon this morning. Someone once said that while it is true that God has revealed everything that we need to know in His Word, He has chosen not to reveal everything we want to know. How many of us haven't joked that when we get to heaven, we're going to stand in that line that has the sign over the counter, "All your questions answered"? The Apostle John, in reference to the Scriptures as a whole, once said, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." For us to go to heaven, for us to be saved, for us to belong to God through faith and be saved for eternity, God has revealed everything we need to know in Scripture. Now, all of that having been said, think of Jesus' birth. While we do know who was born that night so many years ago, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the long-anticipated Messiah and Savior of the world, and why He was born, in His own words, to seek and to save the lost, think of all the things that we don't know about that extraordinary night so many years ago. What is the precise date of Jesus' birth? Not December 25th. Where exactly in Bethlehem was He born? Was it a stable? Was it a barn? Was it a grotto, a cave, or some other kind of animal shelter? Was Joseph the only one there before the shepherds arrived to assist his wife in her childbearing, or did he go out and seek the help of some kindly stranger? We don't know. To all of those questions we have to answer, we don't know. And then comes the rather puzzling remark by Matthew in our text today. After Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. As we this morning learn just what it was that Joseph was considering, and keeping in mind our overall Advent theme this year, the hopes and fears of all the years, let's join together in thanking God that in His Christmas gift to the world, He has given us what we need the most. He's given us Emmanuel, God with us. This was a disturbing discovery. This was an amazing announcement. This was a powerful prophecy. But to answer that question, what was Joseph considering, we need to start with the first verse of our text where Matthew says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Traditions and practices for engagement and marriage back in Jesus' day were totally different than what we're used to today. Back then, when two people pledged themselves to be married, it was a very solemn affair. Before witnesses, they solemnly promised to be faithful to each other, a promise that fulfilled all the legal requirements for marriage. It was their promise to each other to stay faithful to the other that bound their engagement, and any act of unfaithfulness on either part would be considered adultery. Matthew today describes Mary and Joseph as being husband and wife. But the marriage feast, perhaps today the wedding reception, and their living together as husband and wife was delayed. Sometimes weeks, sometimes months, perhaps even a year, when the husband would, after having finished a house, gather up his bride and in formal procession usher her into their new home. Before that happened, however, Joseph made a most disturbing discovery. his beloved, his betrothed, his fiancée Mary was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. Now, we stand away from this fact about 21 centuries, and we know all the facts to the case, don't we? We have the benefit of Angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary, where he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." But Joseph didn't know that. Joseph didn't have a clue. Joseph had to believe that Mary had cheated on him, that she had been unfaithful to him, and now she was pregnant. There are two things that cause us to marvel here this morning. The first is Mary. How Mary must have struggled with the fact that that baby in her womb was not of any human man, but of the Holy Spirit. How Joseph had to accept that word from her. Oh, he had to struggle with how in all the world could this have happened. I can't imagine how difficult it was for Mary to try to explain to Joseph that she hadn't cheated on him, that she hadn't been unfaithful to him, that this child was the product, the offspring, in a sense, of the Holy Spirit. A likely story would have been Joseph's most likely response, and that was his response to Mary's pregnancy. And so Joseph considered Mary to be an adulteress, and according to the law, Matthew says, he was going to put her away. He was going to divorce her, but quietly. His love for her moved him to do this, to spare her any public disgrace. But as he was considering this, God was good to Joseph and sent an angel to him in a dream. And this angel made the amazing announcement, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." To be sure, the child growing in Mary's womb wasn't Joseph's. He knew this, as did Mary. But this child wasn't any other human man's child. All this had come about by the miraculous, marvelous, mysterious power of God the Holy Spirit. And the angel didn't leave Joseph hanging. The angel also explained to Joseph why all of this was happening. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This miraculously conceived child, the angel said, is not merely a son of David, a descendant of that great king. He is great David's greater son. He is the one of whom the Apostle Paul would write to the Colossians and say, "In him all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." He is the one of whom the book of Hebrews says, "The radiance of God's glory in the exact representation of his being." This child, looking so ordinary and innocent, is completely and wholly God. At the same time, he is completely and wholly man, like us in every way, but without sin. This is Christ, the Messiah, long promised and long anticipated, and he is the Savior who will save his people from their sins. None of us could understand this. Our minds are so puny, so finite, that we can't comprehend the wonder of Jesus' incarnation. This is something that we can never figure out, but it is true nonetheless. In this beautiful gospel text, God is making an amazing announcement, one that ought to fill us with holy wonder and awe. To Joseph and Mary 2,000 years ago, to you and me today, and to all the world of all time, God is saying, "This baby in Bethlehem's manger isn't only special, he's unique, one of a kind. He's been conceived and born in a unique way, and he's come to do unique work Work that you and I could never do if God gave us a million, a billion years to do so, to seek and to save the lost. Marvel at his coming. Receive him, adore him, worship him. This baby is Jesus, sent by God to save you from your sins. We find this good news to be incredible, to be accepted on the testimony of Mary. If we find it too difficult to believe, even from the mouth of an angel, God, through Matthew, gives us further proof. Matthew quotes Isaiah, we heard this in today's Old Testament lesson, and says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." It's so important for us to remember a truth that is important when reading Scripture, that often what God conceals in the Old Testament, he reveals to us in the New Testament. Over the course of the Old Testament, God made hundreds of prophecies, predictions about what was going to happen after Jesus was born. 700 years before Jesus was born, God moved the prophet Isaiah to predict his coming from a virgin. This child is Emmanuel, God with us, and we confess that every time we join our voices with Martin Luther and in the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed say, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord." Have you ever really thought that through? Everything and everyone in this world would not exist if it were not for this child who is God wrapped up in our human flesh. John says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." With a short list, courtesy of my favorite Christian author, Max Lucado, consider these thought-provoking things. There would have been no wood for the stable in Bethlehem if in the Garden of Eden he had not created trees. There would have been no manger in which to lay him if he had not given life and breath to the carpenter who fashioned it. The hay on which he lay grew while he was in his mother's womb because he had blessed the year with abundant sunshine and rain. Sheep and cattle would not have been there if he had not brought their ancestors safely through the flood some 2,500 years before. Mary would not have had the protection of a righteous and loving man if he had not sent an angel from heaven to inform Joseph that the child in her womb had been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And what's even more important than all of those things is that in this child, God became our substitute. In this child, God took our place under the heavy burden of the law and fulfilled every single aspect of that law perfectly in our place. In this child, God took on our sin, and by his innocent life and sacrificial suffering and death, paid for that sin completely. It was with the identity or person of Jesus, as well as all that he did, that the Apostle Paul could say, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And all of this, to one degree or another, God allowed the prophet Isaiah to see through the eyes of faith. And now through Scripture, he shares it with us in a most powerful prophecy. My friends, I know you hear often from this pulpit that we need to keep the cross in the manger. We need to keep Good Friday and Easter Sunday in Christmas. For the death of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead bring his work and his life to a conclusion. In other words, we really couldn't celebrate Christmas if we didn't know what came at the end, Christ's death and resurrection. But the opposite is just as true. We couldn't celebrate what Jesus did for us on Good Friday and his resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday if there were no Christmas, if he hadn't been conceived and born into our world. Christmas is essential to our Christian hope and joy. In Jesus, the Messiah, God has fulfilled the hopes and the fears of all the years. Well, we may not have all the details that we'd like about Jesus' birth. When exactly was he born? Where precisely in Bethlehem was his birthplace? Was Joseph alone, or did he have someone helping him when he assisted Mary? We do have what we need the most. We have Emmanuel, God with us. May we always take to heart and make our confession these powerful words of Martin Luther, and let's say them together to bring the sermon to a close. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan storm and rave. Christ is your brother. You are safe. Amen.